Old Testament reading this morning can be found on page 220 in your pew Bible, Judges 4, 1 to 7. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh, from Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take position at Mount Tabor, bring 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." The New Testament reading can be found on page 205, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when they say there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for attaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of God for the people of God.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Faith and love and hope. We see that in 1 Corinthians. We read that so many times in Paul's writings. Faith, hope, love. In faith, we're to serve God. In faith and love, we're to serve others. We're to love God, love our neighbors as self. And there's nothing that we have that we leave out of the equation of our love towards God. Heart, soul, mind, strength. And yet, when we do all of that, we still have questions. When is he coming back? Newsflash for you. They've been wondering that for at least 2,000 years. And it may be another 2,000. But there's a hope, just like that first century church had, that none of us knows the day or the time. None of us knows the day or the season. Now, what does he mean by Paul saying that? No one knows the season or the day. I mean, in other words, there's no one who knows the chronology of when Christ's going to be sent back. Jesus says when people ask him, well, when is it to happen? When is it to happen? You know, you'd think Jesus would tell his disciples the secret, let them in on how long it's going to be. And he says, no one but the Father knows, not even the Son. So if the second coming, the return, is so secret as to its timing, well, why do you think that is? It's the same reason we're always asking the question, well, why? When? As if it makes a difference when he comes back. We are supposed to be ready for him to come back today. That's the urgency. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit want us to make a decision for them today, not wait for some predetermined time like, oh, you know, at the first millennia, you know. What'd they do? They sold their property. They went up on top of mountains and they were waiting for Jesus to come back. I mean, we just had 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, the trumpet sounds, the clouds part, Jesus descends, the graves give up their dead, and we rise with them to be with Jesus in heaven. It's a wonderful and glorious thing. And I'll tell you, I can't blame anybody for anticipating that. I can't blame anybody for wanting that to happen. You know, the phrase, come Lord, quickly come, I mean, all you have to do is turn the TV on, hit a search engine or anything, any kind of a blog, a news blog on your iPad or your smartphone or that computer, or pick up a newspaper. And what are you going to see? This world is not going to a they're not headed to a trash basket. They're already in a trash basket with how many shootings, how many robberies, how many murders, how many senseless killings. You know, and all those human killers, the people that take other people's lives, what about cancer? What about some of the other illnesses? Those are horrendous. Well, you know, who wouldn't be waiting for a resurrection body where we don't have those to worry about? Because those are not part of heaven. Those are done, finished, finito. Death is no more. Pain and suffering, no more. Cancer, no more. Hate, no more. Violence, no more. We're going to be singing hallelujah. Praise be to God. We put on faith and love and hope, that hope of salvation. We know that what? Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. We haven't seen it yet. Everybody's waiting for it. You're no different than the people in the first century Christian church. They were waiting too. And they thought most certainly that Jesus was coming back in their time frame, in their lives. Verse 2, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now some people think, well, what do you mean? Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night? You know, he's going to come in and steal things? No. What Paul's saying is Jesus and the return is going to come because none of us knows the day or the time or the season. He's going to come so unexpectedly. Even though we can be anticipating it, even though we have our hearts right and we're waiting for that to occur, it's still going to happen and we don't know when it's going to happen. The point is, if you knew a thief was going to break into your home at 10 o'clock tonight, you'd leave, dial 911 at about 9:45 or whatever the response time is for the police and tell them somebody's breaking into your house. So they'll be there when the guy gets there. You'd be prepared to take some activity or some action. The thing is, you and I need to be prepared. You and I need to be ready to go into heaven, to be with God, to be with Jesus, to be with the Holy Spirit forever, and all those that have preceded before right now. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to have later today. And when they say there is peace and security, well, guess what? Who's the they? How much do they know? How many of you people watch Weather Channel? Okay. How often are they right? I mean, seriously, here we're counting on them to tell us when something's going to happen. Does it happen? Well, sometimes. So when they tell you that everything's hunky-dory and everything's cool and just kick back and relax, that's when that little second, that sense should be saying, things aren't exactly going cool. We need to be, the point is we're supposed to be ready now. We're supposed to be ready always. And how do we do that? When we have an opportunity to serve someone, when we have an opportunity to write somebody a Christmas card, a Thanksgiving card, do some charitable work, acts of piety, acts of mercy, the acts of mercy. A group of people here in the church a couple of days ago purchased everything for a Thanksgiving feast for a family. Turkey and all the trimmings. I know there are other people that are set up and ready to do something similar to that. Again, those are acts of mercy. Those are things that you can do. But how many people are participating in a devotional? Reading scripture specifically and purposely reading scriptures to prepare yourselves to be a servant of God each and every day as a way of living. Acts of piety. So we do acts of mercy, acts of piety. The reason I'm saying that, those are Wesleyan. Verse 8. But since we belong to the day, simple thing. If you wonder whether or not you belong to the day or the night, okay. Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Confessed with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Well, then you're in this. We who belong to the day, let us be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. God has not destined us for wrath, for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. And you know, the last verse there is take encouragement yourself. In other words, remember 2 weeks ago I said encouragement is a French word that means to put the heart in. Be of good heart. Be of good spirit. Be uplifted. Have that power in you that is Christ Jesus, because you have that helmet of salvation. You go to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 17, and you get the full armor of God. But right here, Paul's speaking of the breastplate of faith and love. And the helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. Jesus does not leave us alone, even when it seems everything in the world would convince us or tell us or move us to think that we're alone or lost. You don't have to be downtrodden. That's not to say that there's not sorrow in the world, that there's not grief. If you're in the world, and if you've been here for 10 or 15 or 20 years, who hasn't lost a grandparent? Who hasn't lost a parent? Who hasn't lost a sibling? Who hasn't lost a child? Who hasn't lost a friend? Who can say not to grieve? Who can tell you not to have sorrow? But don't be overwhelmed with it. have that hope of salvation, have that hope of resurrection, have that hope that God is still in control. God has a plan, and it includes you, it includes me, and it includes everybody who we've already lost. That's our hope for salvation. Christ is coming back. How many of you believe that? How many of you are ready for it to happen? Okay, I know. Some of us want to see our grandbabies grow up. Okay? Some of us want to see those great-grands be born. Yeah? Yeah? Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Come, Lord, quickly. Come. And everybody needs to be ready. We'll be walking into Jerusalem just like John. Hallelujah. Amen.